Thank you, Sister Jessie, for singing that song. Yes, that was my fault. I asked her to sing it. Several have said, isn't tonight prayer night? Every night's prayer night. Amen. If you can't say amen, it's because you're not praying. It is good to be back with you all here in Kentucky. I missed y'all's accent. In Florida, they speak a lot like I do. But I thank you for your prayers. We had a wonderful trip down to Florida and back. Had a wonderful time with the Southside Baptist Church and Pastor Jonathan Bush. The Lord blessed greatly in our trip, and ask that you just continue to pray for us as the Lord guides us to where we ought to be and where we can minister to the Spanish-speaking people. That song that was sang today was because we are focused on prayer tonight. I would say pray for your pastor. Pray for those that are mourning the loss of Pastor Stonaker. Yes, we rejoice that he is in heaven, but we miss him. He and his church have been longtime supporters of ours, and I really, really wanted to make it to that service. But as I know, Brother Stonaker would be happier that I continue to minister where I'm supposed to be. And so tonight I have the privilege of filling in for your pastor. And I also, tomorrow night we start a new men's Bible study via Zoom book study. So if you're interested and you want to dedicate an hour a week to a book study on Thursday nights, let me know. But that's where I need to be. So the Lord has a plan in all things, and I know that he is sovereign. He has placed me here many times at Faith Baptist at just the right moment when the pastor can't be here. And so I'm thankful for that. And of course, I know there's able men like Ben that could come up and preach as well. But I count it a privilege that I could serve in this pulpit. If you would, take your Bibles and turn over to Matthew chapter 6. We are going to spend just a little bit of time tonight talking about prayer. It is something that we do, but maybe not as often as we should. It's something that we do not oftentimes actually take as serious as we should. And so I just want to examine this scripture. I'm sure it's a familiar scripture in your Bibles. It's probably entitled the Lord's Prayer. We would probably call it the model prayer, but it doesn't really matter the title that we give it. It is the Lord teaching us how to pray. One of the things that I enjoy reading in the New Testament is the red letters. I love to see the red letters because those are the words of our Savior speaking to us. These are not just only inspired words, but they are directly given words to us, and that makes them special. It makes them special to know exactly what our Savior said. So we'll take a look at the subject of prayer tonight. And before we read our scripture, I want to read the definition of prayer that's found in Webster's 1828 dictionary. Webster defines prayer as a solemn address to the supreme being. I like how he says the supreme being, because there's only one God. Consisting of an adoration or an expression of our sense of God's glorious perfections. Confession of our sins, supplication for mercy and forgiveness, intercession for blessings on others, and thanksgiving, or an expression of gratitude to God for his mercies and benefits. So, understanding prayer tonight, let's get into Matthew chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 5. I don't know if I put that up there for some reason. I must have not. But we'll begin in verse 5, and we'll read down through verse 13. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Verse 8, but be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask them. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When we get into the subject of prayer, which I want us to do tonight, but I want to quickly speak about this subject, and I'm going to present many points about prayer. So we are going to dissect these scriptures quite quickly, because I do want to allow time for prayer. I hate to say that I want to allow time for prayer, because I know that we live in a busy world. We have busy schedules, but we also have confined our worship and our prayer time to time. We have decided when we should pray long and when we shouldn't, and I would say that we would probably pray a lot shorter than we should, but we've confined that to time. Tonight, let me just take a quick moment to explain a little bit about prayer, and as I was preparing the sermon or devotional, whatever you want to call it, one thing I realized was that I could preach a series and teach a series, and I could take a month or 2 months or 3 months teach and preach on prayer, but I won't do that tonight. I want us to see, first of all, that prayer is a demanded action, okay? If you go back to verse 5, and I've put it up on the screen with three words highlighted there. Verse 5 says, and when thou prayest. Verse 6 says, but thou, when thou prayest. Verse 7, but when ye pray. This is a demanded action. This is not something that the Lord is saying, if you pray. He is not saying that this is conditional. He's saying when you pray. This is an action that should be taking place in our lives. This is not something that is confined to the walls of the church building. Some people would call this place the church, and I've been trying to break that habit because growing up, that's what we called it. We're going to church. We're going to the church building to be with the church, right? But prayer, for lots of us, has been confined to just this place. We, of course, will pray when we are in dire need, but we do not take time to pray on a regular basis. And you say, well, how do you know that? There have been many studies, many polls conducted. Most people that proclaim to be God's children do not pray. I had the privilege to have a father that raised me up to pray, to study God's word. And I loved my father. As a matter of fact, I would talk to him every day. And I had a very good relationship with him because we talked every day. That's how our relationship should be with our Heavenly Father. Yet we oftentimes take for granted that we don't even need a phone to call him. We take for granted that the communication is so open that we can call on him anytime. I remember sometimes calling my dad, and he'd say, I'm busy right now, I'll call you back. You know what? Our Heavenly Father never says, I'm too busy. Yet, many times, we go throughout the day, and if at most, we pray for the food and ask the blessing, and that's about it. The Word of God shows us that this is a demanded action. This is something that should take place. This should not be out of the ordinary. This should not be something that we have to think about doing. We read verses like pray without ceasing, and yet we cease to pray until we really, really, and I'm going to say, need something. When we pray, it is a demanded action. I want us also to see that it is a door-closed action. Yes, I alliterated this sermon just to please Pastor Joe. A door-closed action. I want you to look at verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. This is not talking about us in the congregation, the pastor asking somebody to pray. No, it's talking about somebody that would stand up and pray to be acknowledged as someone just a little holier, someone that is truly walking with God. Now, I don't have anything against street preaching. I think it can be effective. But the other day in Florida, I heard a guy street preaching, and I thought, this is just a show. I mean, he even sang his words as he was saying them. And it really bothered me, because that's it. That's his reward. He's gotten up in front of everyone and said, look at me, listen to the words I'm saying. Here, the Word of God says that this is to be an intimate time with our Creator. This is an intimate time with our Heavenly Father. This is not just a quick second before we walk out the door, or just a quick second before the doctor brings the results. We are to have an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, and we are to shut the door, as the Word says here, shut thy door, close that door, and commune with God. Do we do that? Yes, I remember several weeks ago when the pastor had mentioned from behind this pulpit that some were discouraged and displeased with the idea that there was going to be prayer service. Too much prayer service. You can never have enough prayer. There's no such thing as talking too much to your Heavenly Father. Yet sometimes that's how we act. We're having another prayer. As a matter of fact, some people probably didn't show up tonight. Well, it's just prayer service. This service should be just as important as every other service that we have behind these doors, inside of these walls. But it should be a place that is intimate. Some would say, well, then, should we pray as a congregation? Of course, we should. We should. You remember when Peter was in prison and they were in the house. And remember Rhoda, of course. And what were they doing when Peter comes to the door and knocks, and Rhoda and goes to answer the door? What happens? What were they doing? They were praying together. That's what the Word of God says. They were praying together. What a more intimate place than to be with your celestial family praying to your Heavenly Father. Yet, we are still at the if instead of the when. Prayer is also a do not repeat action. We look at verse 7, the Word of God says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking, but not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And this is something I had the privilege of touching on just a little bit with the men's Sunday school class. We will fault people that will repeat verse 9 through verse 13. And we will fault people that say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And we'll say, "Well, they're just repeating words." But is that not what we do so often when we pray? As I shared with the men in Sunday school a little over a month and a half ago, many times when the pastor asks somebody to pray in the congregation, honestly, if you've been here for a while, you probably could pray their prayer for them because you know exactly what they're going to say. I remember as a little boy, one of the things that my dad installed in us was to pray. But as a little boy, I remember I would always pray the same prayer. As a matter of fact, my siblings and I, we all basically said the same prayer all the time. And dad allowed that for a certain amount of time. And then he said, look, y'all need to stop. Well, he didn't say y'all. He said you guys, because we're from Michigan. He said, you need to pray from your heart. You need to have communication with God. It's not just repeating the same words, the same thing. Before you know it, you're praying. You don't even know what you're saying. You get to the amen, and you have no clue what you just said to God because you've been repeating the same words so many times. You see, before we try to get that huge or that little piece of wood out of someone's eye, we should probably look at the big, huge one that's stuck in ours. And we are very quick to criticize other religions and denominations for how they pray, yet we are guilty of the very same thing. Use not vain repetitions. This is something that we do even at the dinner table, and a lot of times we'll pick who we want to pray before the meal. If we're really hungry, we'll pick the one that prays the fastest. And their prayer seems to be the same all the time, right? Father, Son, Holy Ghost, he who eats the fastest eats the most, amen. But that's not how we should pray. Yet so many will pray that way. Prayer has become a joke. It's become something that we also are guilty of repeating. So we see that prayer is a do not repeat action. But we also see that prayer is a properly addressed action. A properly addressed action. Look at verse 9. Word of God says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." Okay, the Lord is saying, this is how I want you to pray. He says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Our Father. Did you notice that he didn't say, "Dear Savior, Jesus Christ"? No, he wasn't praying to himself. He did not say, "Oh, Holy Ghost," as so many would teach today. No, his prayer was directed to God the Father. I know that we can fall into this trap, and please don't be upset with me when I say this, but many times when we end our prayer, which we have seen the example of praying in the name of Jesus, many would say, "And it is in your name we pray," but is it in the Father's name that we pray? No, the Word of God teaches us that it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. And so therefore, when we do pray, we ought to pray in the name of Jesus, not in the name of the Father, but yet we are praying to the Father. Remember, each part of the Trinity has a part in our prayers. God the Father is he who hears our prayers. Jesus Christ is our attorney. He's our lawyer. He's the one standing there presenting his blood, and that is why our prayers can be heard. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit, he intercedes with the sounds, the grumblings, the things that we cannot say. He's our translator. So many times we don't know exactly how to pray. We don't know the words to say, yet the Holy Spirit takes our jumbled mouths and our jumbled tongues, and he turns that into a correct petition to the Father. And so as we see in our prayers, we ought to pray to the Father. That's a magnificent thing that we get to speak to God the Father, the one that loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son so that we could have eternal life. So we see that a properly addressed action is prayer. It's addressed to the Father. We see a purposefully petitioned action. There's a lot of P's going to go on, okay? A purposefully petitioned action. Look at this. Verse 10 says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Is that what we're praying for? For the kingdom of God to come? Are we praying for his will to be done? One of the things that I think is probably the craziest thing that we say is, "God answered my prayer." Now, granted, as long as we don't have things that are an obstacle to our prayers being heard, like just one example, the Word of God tells us that a man that mistreats his wife, his prayers will not be heard, okay? But as long as we don't have those obstacles in our life, sin that is unconfessed, when we pray to God, are we praying for his will to be done? And then is his answer always received? You see, what I believe, a lot of times we'll say, "I'm praying," or "I was praying and God answered my prayer." No, what you mean is, "I was praying and God answered my prayer the way I wanted him to." Because we are not happy with when God says no. We want God to say yes. And when we say he answered our prayer, what we're saying is, he said yes to what I wanted. Our attitude would change in prayer if we truly ask God just for his will. And our attitude would change when we receive his will, whether it's the thing that we wanted or not. "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." What is he saying here? The Lord is saying God's will is always done in heaven. And we want that here on earth as well. Not only is it a purposefully petitioned action, but it is a provisional petitioned action. Look at verse 11. "Give us this day our daily bread." God, provide for us what we need. Provide for us what we need. Now, he will provide for us. Did you see this? He's being very direct with God the Father. He's saying, "Give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need for," what does he say? "For today." Yet we are so worried about tomorrow and the days to come. We're building that warehouse, that storehouse, and we don't even know if we'll live to see it filled. He says, "Give us this day." Yet we are so focused on tomorrow, the next day, the next day, and the next day, we forget all about today. What is our daily bread? Is that the physical needs? Yes, it can be. What else is our daily bread? It is our spiritual needs. It is our emotional needs. Me and Brother Jay were talking about this, and it's hard. It's hard to get the spiritual need and the emotional need and the physical need to all line up. But God will provide if we would ask him. His promise is he would give us what we need. Prayer is also a penitent petitioned action. I want you to see a penitent petitioned action. Verse 12, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." You know what? We really honestly like to pray, "Forgive us our debts." We kind of want to rub off the last part, don't we? Because we really don't want to say, "God, forgive us how we forgive others." Because we probably don't forgive others like we ought to. It's a power-filled petition. Petitioned action, a power-filled petitioned action. "Lead us not into temptation," verse 13, "but deliver us from evil." Pastor used this saying, I'm trying to remember exactly how it goes, but it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission, right? And that's how we look at it sometimes with God. We'd rather just go ahead and do it. And then when we're suffering the consequences, then we want to be delivered. Lead us not into temptation. Don't allow us to fall into temptation. Deliver us from evil. And of course, we know that the scripture tells us how that can be done. It's by putting on the full armor of God that we can resist those fiery darts from Satan. Prayer is a praise-filled proclaiming action. I want you to see this, a praise-filled proclaiming action. Last part of verse 13, for thine is the kingdom. For thine is the power. For thine is the glory forever. Amen. It is all belonging to him. And I know that your pastor will get up here oftentimes and he will say, it's not all about you, right? That's been his kind of motto, I almost said it in Spanish, his lema. That's been his thing that he's been saying for this last year is, it's not all about you, right? Who is it about? Should our praise only be in this building? No, it should be in our prayers. When is the last time you praise God with your prayer? You see, I think we are very quick to petition God, but we are very slow to praise him. And we only praise him when things go well. What does the Thessalonians say? It says that we ought to give thanks in everything, and yet we only give thanks in the things that we think are good things, don't we? Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we get into prayer tonight, which we're going to do a little different, Pastor said, he said, it's up to you. I said, great, it's up to me. He said, it's going to be a small crowd tonight. I said, I know, that's why you asked me to preach, because it's going to be a small crowd. He said, well, you can go ahead, you got freedom, you want to preach, go ahead and preach, you do whatever. Are we praying? Are we properly praying? When we pray, do we want the eloquence of our words to somehow sway the ears and decisions of our God? Or do we just want to pour our heart out before him? I was reading in, I think it's Psalm 95 in verse 6. I don't want to mess it up, but I think it's Psalm 95, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. When's the last time we got on our knees and we prayed? Used to hear the old stories of us getting on our knees. Our grandma used to get on her knees. Mom used to get down on her knees and pray. When's the last time we got on our knees? As the word of God says, to kneel before the Lord our Maker. I was reading, I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 2. Might as well just read it real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. No, we don't lift our hands in prayer because we don't truly believe God's going to take what we have here and do his work. So tonight we need to pray. We need to pray not just for ourselves, but for others. Your pastor was struggling, I could tell, with the large responsibility of preaching a funeral of someone that was a hero to him. He needs our prayers. As I listen to, I've been gone for a month, and as I listen to all the people that are suffering with COVID and other sicknesses, they need our prayers. And I was reminded of how many of our family members, our friends, our coworkers have a greater need than COVID, have a greater need than money. Yes, even a greater need than words to preach at a funeral. They need Christ. When's the last time you got on your knees and prayed for them? So we're going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to take 5 minutes to pray silently in our pews and bring our personal petitions before God. And then I'm going to ask Church Deacon, Brother Sonny, if you would then close us in audible prayer. Does that sound okay? So let's take these next 5 minutes and we will pray.